This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. Because there's nothing new under the sun, you can know a lot about the future by studying the past. The difference is that things are accelerating in terms of the rate at which they unfold. Because we have instant communications, you know, we've got the internet, which hasn't existed very long in terms of human history. All the cycles of human history that are predictable and that are self-reproducing are now happening more quickly. The cultural changes, the radicalism, the cycles of fear versus hope, the cycles of hatred, you know, I mean, look at how quickly news travels right now. And on one hand, you might look at this and say, well, I can't handle it. It's too much negative news, too many crazy things happening. But on the other hand, if you have the neurological bandwidth to sort of stay tapped into what's happening, you can actually see the cycles of history unfolding very, very quickly and predictably as well. So one of the cycles that we're in right now is about parents raising children without parenting, or that is allowing children to do whatever they want, not requiring children to have a work ethic, not requiring children to honor their elders. You know, this kind of very loosey-goosey type of parenting where a lot of parents try to be best friends and pals with their children. They try to get along with them like friends would do instead of chiding them or directing them as parents should do. So this has happened before. In the 1800s, for example, there was a cycle of really lax parenting, but it came back to a more strict or conservative style of parenting right around World War II. And children that were brought up after the Great Depression were children that lived with parents who were very, very strict about using resources and so on. Now, that's a natural extension of the fact that the Great Depression taught the adults of the time that resources are scarce. Now, before the Great Depression, people thought we were in the booming 20s and that the world would change forever and nobody had to conserve anything. I mean, think about it. In the first two decades of the 20th century, you know, you saw the widespread adoption of electricity and there was light everywhere suddenly. And then there was mass production of vehicles, you know, starting in the 1920s and this boom of the combustion engine and oil and fuel everywhere. And it was a boom time. And when money is easy, there's not much discipline in the culture. When money is easy, a generation always emerges from it that doesn't understand work ethic. And that generation will often overextend themselves in terms of debt or risky bets. You know, there was like the Elon Musk Tesla of the 1920s. They existed too, and they made pie in the sky promises about things that couldn't possibly come true. And then, of course, the Great Depression hit, 1929, stock market, massive correction, and it changed the culture. It changed the culture to be more conservative. And from that conservatism, from that new culture of understanding the scarcity of resources and understanding the importance of hard work, out of that, then, a generation later, came the boom of the 1950s, right? 1950s, post-World War II, massive economic boom, huge growth in America. Why? Because people were willing to work. They worked hard. They had discipline. They wanted to learn. They wanted to study. They invested in themselves to have new skills, and there was abundance everywhere. The 1950s were a booming time. Well, so then what happened after that? 1960s, the next generation, college kids got lazy, became anti-establishment, didn't want to work, didn't want to conform. They became the hippies of the 1960s. And what did that give rise to? Well, the economic semi-collapse of the 1970s, Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter's policies almost drove us into a total nationwide economic apocalypse. You had interest rates of 18%. You had gas lines at the gas stations. People couldn't buy gasoline. Why? Because the economic policies came out of this generation of laziness, essentially. I mean, that's an oversimplification. but it was all this anti-establishmentarianism that was also rejecting, you know, America's presence in Vietnam, where America was fighting the expansion of communism in Southeast Asia, which was actually a very important milestone in the history of how the world has unfolded. So then fast forward. After Jimmy Carter, then the reaction to that became, of course, Ronald Reagan, and then the booming 80s, and Reagan slashed taxes big time, eventually, not right at first. It took him a few years to get it done. He slashed taxes, and then you had more productivity. So this generation after Jimmy Carter and the wild late 60s and mid-1970s, the next generation, they were hard workers again, right? And then what did you get? The next generation, the late 1990s, the end of the Clinton era, the dot-com boom. Everybody thought they were going to get rich by doing nothing again. Dot-com boom. All throughout, like from 1994 until about 2000, everybody thought that they would never have to work again. This is exactly the same repeat of the 1920s. It just happened more quickly. So what we're actually witnessing here is the compression of a spiral of cycles of history. If you map the things that happen in history that are repeated, again and again, it's like a spiral. But it's not spiraling outward. It's actually spiraling inward in the sense that the spirals are getting tighter and faster. So what used to take a whole generation to happen, sometimes now it seems to be happening in a decade or half a generation or maybe even faster. So, of course, we had the dot-com crash in 2000, 2001, and people lost their life savings. People lost their retirement funds. And there was a reckoning that, oh, I guess money isn't free. So in the early 2000s, you know, you had Bush in power and you had people going back to work again. A lot of people who thought they would retire were now working, even senior citizens. They were working as Walmart greeters and so on. But then the next cycle of fiscal insanity happened more quickly. You had the housing subprime Ponzi scheme that took off and crashed in record time. You know, it was taken off in 2001, and it continued to spiral until it crashed at about 2007/2008, the massive banking bailout in 2008. And then from there, from 2008 to the present, you know, only a decade, basically, now you have these insane cycles. People think they're going to get rich all of a sudden in Bitcoin, and then you have Bitcoin crashing all of a sudden. You know, people think they're going to have that they've discovered some new company to invest in that's going to go wild and reinvent the world like Tesla. And then it turns out it's all hype and it all comes crashing down. We're in the process of that right now. You had the election of Donald Trump in 2016, and then the explosion of censorship in rapid succession after Trump's victory. And at the same time that's happening, you've got the fake news explosion in the mainstream media. Very rapidly, the media destroyed its own reputation. Again, in record time. Now things are only taking a few years to happen rather than a generation or a decade. So where are we going from here? It's only going to become more compressed in terms of the timing of everything. Events that used to take 20 years are going to take 2 years now. So the years ahead of us, we're going to see the cycles of history repeating. Again, we're going to see boom and bust. We're going to see psychotic hatred. We're going to see calls for peace. We're going to see wars come and go in such a rapid pace that the entire cycle of a war coming and going will be completed in less time than it used to take to even declare a war back in the 1940s. This is the world that we're facing now. History repeats itself. But the timing of it is different. Or as they say, it rhymes with history, what you're experiencing today. But the timing of things is now just wildly unpredictable. Things spread at the speed of social media, the speed of fake news, i.e. CNN and so on. And yet, humanity is struggling in a way now that it has never faced before, struggling with massive environmental pollution, agricultural chemicals in the food supply, struggling with record hormone disruptors, plastics in the food supply. Plastics, you're eating plastics at your dinner table. Microplastics, they're called. We've got more insanity. We've got more violence. We've got more people like Ocasio-Cortez out there saying the world's going to end in 12 years if they don't shut down all combustion engines. And by the way, Beto, also known as Robert O'Rourke, just signed on to that plan. He thinks the world's going to end in 12 years too. So you have this frantic nature of the way people are behaving. You have all these lawmakers who literally think the world will end in 12 years. That means that in their minds, they are justified to do anything, any radical thing imaginable to, as they see it, save the world. So they're willing to destroy the economy. They're willing to shut down the combustion engine. You had a lawmaker in the UK recently that was, he thinks that knife violence is out of control. So he proposed to Parliament that all knives should be tracked by GPS trackers by the government. So the government can look up the GPS position of every knife in the UK. I mean, can you imagine? You have to run a GPS tracker on every knife in your kitchen so the government knows where all your knives are at any moment. But this is the kind of insanity that's being pushed right now. And so the way to deal with this is to realize, no, it's not you. It's not you that's feeling frantic. It's the world that's frantic. The cycles are compressing. You have to be able to dissociate from the insanity of the world, the acceleration, or sometimes it's called the quickening. You have to be able to get offline on a daily basis, find nature, find some peace, find something that you can do, even a hobby or a trade or some kind of art or physical fitness or something that you can do that gets you away from these cycles of the quickening. It's okay to observe it, but don't become consumed by it. Don't become part of it. Don't get sucked into the emotional manipulation that the media is always pushing following mass shootings. Don't get suckered into the way the media wants to control your emotions and turn you into a weapon against humanity. And that's my best advice right now. Understand, I mean, frankly, just awareness of how this works and how this is happening can help you insulate yourself from the insanity. The world is, you could say it's going crazy, but there's a pattern to it. And once you understand the pattern, you don't have to be freaked out by it. You just have to realize that this is going to happen. Things are going to accelerate. There's going to be madness and chaos and civil war, and there's going to be, you know, food shortages and countries without electricity and mass shootings and fake news and everything. But at some point, it's going to switch back. This is part of a big cycle. Once the quickening reaches a certain point, everything begins to revert back to the other side of history. I don't know. Maybe I'm not explaining it well in that case, but just watch and pay attention. But don't become consumed by it. You're going to see patterns emerge that have already been written in the history books. All you have to do is survive this, keep your sanity intact, keep your health intact. Nutrition can help you do that. And then you'll be able to make it to the other side with your sanity fully intact. So thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. If you want to make it through these trying times, you're going to need full cognitive function. You're going to need your mental faculties. And there's no better way to achieve that than to turn to good nutrition, brain-supporting nutrition. That's what we offer at the Health Ranger store. We do more testing than any retailer in the world to make sure that you have the cleanest food in the world, because I believe that that's how we change the world. We change the world through clean food. We help people live better, think better, and we get better results in the world. It all starts with food and nutrition. Check it out. We have over 700 products now at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.